Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, October 17th, the Parenting Tornadoes edition. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom to three littles, Henry, who's 10, Oliver, who's 8, and Teddy, who's 6. We live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 9 and a half, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make the Best Advice Show podcast. I am the father to Noah, who's 5, and Ami, who's 2. We live in Detroit.
Well, today on the show, we've got a question from a listener who feels like she is parenting two tornadoes. Her kids are approaching preschool, and she's looking to take the levels of chaos in her household down a few notches. We're going to give her advice on transitioning her household rules. Then on Slate Plus, we're discussing the funny bits of childhood culture that stick around generation after generation, like typing boobs on a calculator or making the Superman S. It's from an Atlantic piece from Julie Beck, which we'll link to in the show notes. But here's what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
Like the cool S, which I what did you call that growing up? And did you do that in school?
Yeah, we did it. I don't know what we called it. It was just the S. And there were no other letters that could be drawn in this style for
this
whatever
blocky,
reason. So we just all practiced drawing block S's. The S stood for nothing for most of us.
If you want to support our show, the best way to do that is signing up for Slate Plus. You get bonus segments from us each week, as well as from your other favorite Slate shows, and you won't hear any ads. It really does help us out immensely. You can sign up for Slate Plus now at slate.com/momanddadplus. Okay, we're going to catch up on our week in parenting, but not before a quick break. See you back here in a second.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
All right, Zach, do you have a triumph or fail for us this week?
We are just coming out of just Booger City, USA. In our house, everyone has been sick. I feel like everyone we know is sick. Maybe the kids had RSV. We didn't get them tested. Maybe it was just a cold. Shira is just getting over conjunctivitis. But last week, the kids were home for a couple days from school. And all these forecasts of like, it's the flu and RSV and COVID compounded. It's going to make for a heavy season of sickness. Like, indeed, it's true. We were just down and out. We're coming out of it now. And the kids, thankfully, you know, we didn't have to take them to the hospital because these RSV units or, you know, pediatric units on the hospital are filled with kids with RSV. Like, it's no joke. We're grateful that, you know, the kids didn't have to go to the hospital. They just were able to lay low here. We watched a lot of movies, used a ton of Kleenex, but we made it through. We're starting to feel a little bit better, and hopefully we will ward off sickness for at least 2 days because Ami brings something home from daycare, it seems like, every week.
Any good movies you guys all enjoyed, or was it plop the kids in front of the movie so that...
Yeah, no, we watched Ophira when she was guest hosting. She suggested Paddington, and we watched that. That was great. And then we watched Peter Rabbit, which was really cute too.
Jamila, how about you? Triumph or fail?
You know, it's feeling a little failish, but Elizabeth will probably convince me to forgive myself. Naima's home from school today. When we got up this morning, you know, I said, hey, come on, get up. I went and made breakfast and lunch, and she's still struggling and can't get out the bed, and she's on the couch and she's asleep and she just can't wake up. Mommy, I'm so tired, I don't feel good. And then I'm like, okay, I just give in. I'm like, get back in the bed. You can have an extra 30 minutes or just be late for school, you know, because she was just not moving. It was just like she just couldn't, you know. And then her throat was hurting and her head was hurting, and she was warm, not fever. She didn't have a fever, but she was warm. And finally, I just gave up and said, okay, you're not feeling well, you can stay home. And she seems like she's doing great now.
Of course. What's she doing?
She's relaxing on the couch watching a TV show, but like, she just has not seemed unwell since those first few hours this morning. And so she felt so out of it. I mean, I wanted so badly to get her out the door. I have stuff to do today. It's parent-teacher conferences. I really wanted to, you know, for her to be at after school when that happened, so I could just talk to, you know, her dad and I could just talk to the teacher in person, because then basically I have to Zoom in with both of them, you know, and I really have some things I want to talk to the teacher about. So that's kind of why it's feeling like a fail. Like, I really, like, the parent-teacher conference was important. And also I had a whole plan for the day, which involved going to the parent-teacher conference and then going to the gym while Naima was in after school. And now I will not be going to the gym. And we're either going to do the conference in person and her teacher can see how not sick she is for herself and we can both feel like assholes, or we have to do it over Zoom. Hold on. Maybe let's, why don't you all see for yourselves? Naima!
Yes.
Let's just check in.
Real.
Let's check in. She's been quiet.
Let's check in.
Naima!
Hi, Naima.
Hi.
How you feeling?
I heard you're not feeling well.
I don't know.
You don't know?
You don't know.
Does your throat still hurt?
No. I just ate breakfast.
That's good that your throat's not hurting.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that.
Okay. We just wanted
to... all, did you want to startle me again?
No, I didn't want to startle you again. We just wanted to see how you were doing.
Yeah, we wanted to see how you were doing. We were trying to assess if your mom made a triumph or a fail by letting you stay home today. Do you want to weigh in? Was this a good mom move? Or a not so good mom move.
Yes. It was a good mom move. Yes. Really.
There you have it, Jamila. You're a good mom.
You're good. Triumph.
And that's all we're striving for most days.
Bye, Naima. Feel good.
See?
That was great.
Not a fail. You made her feel seen and loved.
That's what I'm here for.
I do think you should take her to the parent-teacher.
Yeah, you can totally deal with this in person. And the teacher and I can have a real talk. And you can just sit there awkwardly.
Can't you sit in the hall with a book or something?
Yeah, I'm assuming so. There'll probably be other parents that have to bring their kids with them.
I would assume.
All right, Elizabeth, what about you?
So I'm taking a triumph for the week because we went on this epic
trip to Churchill, Canada with my parents and my sister, and it's like a small group tour to see the polar bears. It was completely amazing.
Wow.
Our kids were the only children on the trip because it's, you know, school is in, and who takes their kids to Churchill, Canada to sit on one of these giant rover things that can drive on the tundra, and you see the bears from there, and they're like all around you, but it's a lot of like just sitting. Well, we arrived during a blizzard, and they were like, oh, tomorrow's going to be great for bear spotting, which in fairness, it was. But we get on this tundra buggy. It's super cold there. Obviously, the bay is freezing, which is why the polar bears are there. They're all making their way to the ice to head out on the ice to do most of their hunting is done during the winter, once out on the ice, seals and that kind of thing. So you're kind of catching them on their way out. And the tundra buggy, like 10 minutes into the drive, we kind of like go down and go back up. We're like on one of those seesaw rides. Like we just keep going up and down. And we said to the naturalist and the driver, like, are we stuck? They're like, no, the roads here are really rough. We can only drive in these specific places. There's like wind blowing and all this snow had fallen. So we're clearly stuck in a drift. We just have to do this over and over again. Of course, you know, the kids like want to see bears. We've like promised them bears. And there's all of these, mostly, I will say, 70 and over on the bus. So it could go either way. They're either like grandparent, hey, we're so excited to have these kids with us, or they're like, why am I on this bus with these children, right? Mm-hmm. We end up being stuck, like 4 hours stuck in the snowdrift. They send another buggy to come get us. That buggy gets stuck. Eventually, that buggy gets unstuck, comes to get us, gets stuck. They have to dig us out. We have to pull this other buggy to freedom. Like it was just sort of a mess. Now there's a bathroom on board and there's food, but this is a win because my kids were great. And it wasn't that they were great. It was that Jeff and I were a great team. My parents were helpful. My sister was helpful in the sense that like we were able to keep them focused. We had brought like journals to draw on and things like that. But of course, we thought we'd be moving. And there's something about moving and having the kids look for things. And in fact, the bears did come out and we got this opportunity to see several mama bears with their baby, their 1-year-old babies that wouldn't normally come out because the buggy makes so much noise. And they tend to kind of stay hidden because the dad polar bears are trying to eat the baby polar bears. It's a mess. But we got to see all of this stuff, which was great. But I was so proud of us. Like, I feel like even though the kids were good, this is like a true win for us because when we needed something or we got frustrated, like no one was arguing with anyone. We were just able to take the kids. You know, Teddy is obviously the hardest to deal with. And there was no like, well, I don't know what else I'm supposed to do with him or this. That was just like, okay, I'm going to take him and do this. I'm going to do this. Let's play tic-tac-toe. Let's do this drawing. Like just keeping them entertained. We had audiobooks, of course, binoculars. Like Jeff was spotting other things with the kids. Like we were just able to make this a really fun experience. And that really set the stage for when we had to get back on the buggy the next day. It was like we had almost practiced how we were going to look for bears. And so they were able to spot all of these things and point them out to other people, which was like really fun. And they were so excited about it. So I just was so pleased because sometimes when I'm in these situations, we take the kids a lot of places that other people don't take their children. And I'm always very mindful that like, I don't want to be ruining someone else's experience with the presence of my children. Mm-hmm. Even though my kids have, we paid the same to be there with them, all of that. But I don't want them to ruin something for someone else. And teaching them that and having them practice that felt like just such a big, big win.
Mm-hmm.
The polar bears also were, it's a completely amazing experience and they're wonderful. And if you get a chance to go to this little remote town that has nothing,
oh my god, where can we see those pictures?
So you can see them on my Instagram at EJDN.
So cool.
See lots of fun pictures of polar bears fighting and mommies and babies. And I have not downloaded the ones from the good camera. That hasn't happened yet. So hopefully that'll happen. I'll get some more up.
So cool.
It is very cool.
Oh, I just went and saw them on your Instagram. So cool. Wow. Amazing.
It was
I want to
really
go.
Cool. On that note, we're going to take another quick break and we will see you back here for our listener question.
talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time for our question, which is being read, as always, by the wonderful Shasha Leonard.
Dear Mom and Dad, how does one manage the transition from toddler to preschooler in terms of household responsibilities? Introducing chores, recalibrating behavior expectations, etc. We have two kids, aged 2.5 and almost 4. We try to take an authoritative, respectful approach to parenting, and it was easy when they were both toddlers, or as easy as two toddlers can be. But now that we're approaching preschool age, we feel like we need to introduce more structure and set expectations. For example, our strategy for hitting was to intervene and stop the behavior and redirect to something else. But now the hitting is motivated, i.e. brother took my toy, or I want your attention, so I'm going to hit. This transition has made us unsure what to do. When do you introduce consequences? What is appropriate? What about introducing expectations like, you will use a fork at dinner and not make a mess, or you will put your laundry in the hamper? Right now, it just feels a bit like we are parenting two tornadoes, and I would really like to get some semblance of order back. Any ideas? If it matters, they are both extroverted, high-energy boys, which may be part of why it's challenging right now. Thanks. Overwhelmed.
This is a great question. I'm in a similar area right now. You know, our kids are 5 and 2. And so there's a couple parts to this question. There's the first part, how can we introduce chores? And then how do we introduce consequences? So your older one especially is totally ready for some really simple chores. But I thought of that Marge Piercy poem to be of use, like the last two lines of that poem. The pitcher cries for water to carry and a person for work that is real. Like, I think that our kids can get in tune with some basic responsibilities and chores and it not feel like a burden to them, but that they are actually like contributing to the household. I think it empowers them. And, you know, we totally struggle with this. It's not like Noah, my oldest, is folding her laundry and taking out the trash yet. However, she's 5. She does help with dinner a lot, and she's starting to help her brother in ways that are so sweet. But like he won't clean up if we ask him to clean up. But if she leads, if she starts to clean up, he will in turn follow. You know, just we were doing it with the Magna tiles last night. Like, he'll knock them over and not really give a shit. But like, once we deputize her to be, you know, the leader in cleaning up, he'll see, oh, this person who I think is the coolest person in the world, she's cleaning up. I can follow. And half the time he will. I find another really great chore to introduce. And again, I'm not sure if chore is the right word, but
responsibility, maybe?
Yeah, responsibility is having Noah help me prepare dinner, because it's fun and it's like so elemental to helping a house run, and she enjoys doing it. She's really into baking shows, as I've mentioned in the past. So she's interested in cooking. She's interested in the kitchen, in chopping, in mixing, etc. So maybe easing into it with something that they might really enjoy. And in our case, that's cooking. Your oldest might be interested in something else that might be helpful to you. Like, I mean, I used to, like, a big push broom is so fun. Like the big, you know, that you can go into the garage and just like sweep up a bunch of dirt, something that like you can't mess up particularly bad. But there are, I think, a handful of things that you can do to show them, oh, this actually isn't that bad. This is kind of fun. And then once they're done, once they see, whoa, look what I just did. I just picked up all my dirty clothes and put them in the hamper. Like, that's not that huge of an ask. Start with that kind of easy on-ramp, and you kind of see them changing before your very eyes.
I think both of your little ones are old enough for some consequences, you know, regarding their behavior. If you throw your cupcake on the floor, you will not get another one, you know. If you hit, you won't be able to play the game we were playing. And you explain them, you know, in the moment as it happens, because you threw your crayons all over the table, we're not going to be able to color a picture right now. We have to put them away instead. And if you want to be able to do an activity, you have to treat the things that we're doing the activity with nicely. You know, they're old enough for time out. You know, let's take a little break. I think you need a moment. And for stern words, you know, like, we don't do this. We don't hit, you know, I'm disappointed that you would hit your brother. You know, I wish you'd chosen different words. Yeah, they're old enough for that. I mean, you can introduce expectations, like you will use a fork at dinner and not make a mess. But at 2 and 4 and a half, or 2 and a half and 4, they're going to make a mess. And they're not going to remember to use a fork for every bite, you know? So a lot of what you're doing at this point is going to be repetition, you know? You're going to repeat yourself over and over and over again. And you've got to get used to that.
Jamila gave some great examples because they are all logical connection consequences. With kids this age, like taking away something in the future or not having dessert, not something like that, is really hard for them to understand how their action led to that. So Jamila's example of like, you threw the cupcake, you don't get any more cupcakes, like, is such a good logical, like, you can't handle this, so now we're just done with this, and I'm sorry, and I know that makes you feel sad and angry, but that is how it is. We can try again tomorrow, right? Setting up those really logical consequences. I think once you have the rules and the consequences, you should think about what are the big ticket items and what are kind of like nice to have. So in what you've written for me, like, the big ticket item here is hitting when we're frustrated, or when we're not getting our way. The nice to have is like using the fork. So for me, nice to haves are really good for rewards. Like, hey, we're going to do the sticker chart, and every time I see you using the fork at a meal, you get a sticker on that meal, right? Now, then you can go to, okay, you've used it at however many meals, and you get some kind of little prize or family activity, whatever you want that to be. Now you need to use it for the whole, to get the sticker for the whole meal. Like, I don't see you using your fingers at all. Like, that is easy kill for the fork thing, right? For the hitting, when kids hit, especially at this age, it is because they are overwhelmed and they do not know what else to do. And so I think you are going to have to continue to step in and narrate some of that for them. Like, adults don't even do this all well, right? So to expect your kid to just turn an age and all of a sudden know what to do is, I think, an unreasonable expectation for them. So saying things like, you know, I know that you feel angry that your brother took this, or I know that you feel angry about that. We can't hit, but we can. And then what is the behavior that you wanted, right? Did you want them to use their words? Like, think about when you are in their frustrated place, what they're actually going to do. Because just saying, we just don't hit, it's like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? I feel, the kid feels angry, and they need something to do with that. And you need to tell them what that desired outcome is. Otherwise, they just don't, they just don't know.
Lately, we've been saying, we don't hit people. If you have some aggression, like, you can hit your pillow. Just so curbing it a little bit, that has helped, I think.
And then bring them the pillow and let them hit it. Yeah. You hit it too. The other thing that kind of stood out to me is you talk about how they're very high energy. And so I would just check in and make sure that their sensory needs are getting met. And for this, you should just go Google heavy work or sensory diet, and just make sure that that is being filled, because kids have a really hard time. I would say everybody, most adults just find other ways to regulate themselves. When their sensory needs are not met, and especially if you have very energetic kids, they tend to need a lot of this heavy work. And so I try to start, if we're going to sit down and play a board game, or the two of them are going to play together, and you know this is typically a time or an activity, start it with a heavy work activity. Have one of them push them in the laundry basket, you know, have somebody do bear crawls. We have a little jar that has all these little like exercises in it. And sometimes as our quote unquote consequence will pull things from this jar to be like, everyone needs to bear walk. Everyone needs to, because sometimes I assess the situation and say, well, what went wrong here is that our set, we're so hyped up that there was no way we could handle this with a good, right? And then when we're calm, we can say, hey, I think we had a lot of problem playing this board game because everybody wanted to move their body. Mm-hmm. And so when you need to move your body, it's okay to ask for that. And these are ways that we could do it.
That's great.
Well, we hope you keep in touch. We'd love to know how everything goes. And if any of this advice helped or if it made it worse, let us know. Everyone else, if you have advice to offer, you can send us a voicemail or email us at momanddad@slate.com. That's also, of course, where you can send any questions of your own. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Christy Taiwo-Macanjula. For Jamila Lemieux and Zach Rosen, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.